in Burnaby, British Columbia. We strive to provide perspectives that are rarely expressed in mainstream media. If you'd like to know more about us, check out our website at cjsf.ca.
Hello, 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 and welcome to CJSF 90.1 FM, the campus and community radio station here at SFU in Burnaby, BC, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories. My name is Nicole Hines, and I am back for another open mic show from 1 to 2. Today, I will actually be talking about some events that I attended this past weekend. I'll share some dope tracks that I am loving, giving us a holiday vibe, holiday cheer. You'll hear an interview by CJSF volunteer journalist Florentina Rusley, and I may have a guest live in studio as well. When December comes around, I am usually busy attending events and getting festive. And although December, I was talking about this yesterday, although December comes around so quickly, this year has been no different. This past Saturday, December 6th, I co-hosted an event in New Westminster at the restaurant Italia Kitchen and Bar called Community Cheer. So just want to talk quickly about the restaurant. It was gorgeous. Beautifully decorated, great energy, so super, super happy about that. And it was an evening to connect, reflect, and celebrate with Vancouver's growing community of entrepreneurs and creators. The idea was to bring together founders, creatives, and solopreneurs for a well-deserved evening of relaxed connection and celebration. Guests networked, celebrated growth, and shared stories with those who truly understand the ebbs and flows of the creative journey in a beautiful venue. As I mentioned, it was right on the New Westminster Quay. I left feeling revitalized, energized, and motivated, and totally ready for 2026. Then, on Sunday, December 7th, I went to the Make It Vancouver Craft Fair at the P&E. And Make It has grown to become one of the most popular and well-attended craft fairs in Canada, with biannual shows in Vancouver as well as Edmonton. So I actually knew about Make It in Edmonton because I lived in Calgary for a really long time. So it was super great to see that it's here in Vancouver. And since 2008, Make It has created a community through connecting makers, AKA they are called makies, with conscious shoppers who want to feel good about what they buy. Now, more than ever, people are making a conscious decision to pay attention what they buy and who they buy it from. So this craft fair is like perfect for it. I feel like small businesses really are the backbone of our economy. And when you buy from an entrepreneur, it has a positive and impactful ripple effect. So last weekend, it was very well attended. It got really, really into the holiday spirit. People were out and about. There were a lot of families there. And like the weather was kind of not the greatest, but people were out in full fledged. I was there on the Sunday, and there were so many vendors to discover. So if you haven't finished your holiday shopping, Make It Vancouver is a great option for cool finds. This year, something interesting is that this year the market actually expanded to 2 weekends for the first time ever. So for people who went last weekend, they were saying that you could have gotten your entry fee or ticket, I guess, stamped so that you could come back this following week for free. So that's kind of cool because I really want to try out the North Vancouver market because I hear that there is no admission for that. But I do appreciate the fact that they do allow people who had purchased for weekend one can still come back for weekend two for free. Before I get into our first holiday-inspired musical set, yes, my friends, since the holidays, Christmas, all of that is just around the corner, I want to share some information about an event that I'm actually attending tonight. This evening, I'll be at the Urban Revision Community Showcase and BIPOC networking event at the Creekside Community Recreation Center. It will be an evening celebrating youth perspectives and conversation from Cohort 4 of the City Hive's Urban Revision BIPOC Mentorship Studio. And so City Hive is a Metro Vancouver-based not-for-profit organization that's on a mission to transform the way that young people are involved in shaping their cities. They work to ensure young people have the agency and opportunity to participate in city planning, local decision-making, and sustainability issues. They work with city-shaping institutions and municipalities to create meaningful youth engagement practices, and they simultaneously work with young people to bring capacity and provide opportunities to address urban challenges. So I'm so looking forward to learning this evening. I'm always looking forward to meeting the peeps and to connect with other BIPOC community members. So join me next week for a recap of that event, because again, I'm really looking forward to it. Now let's move into the first set of music for the day. It is giving holiday vibes, guys, which is perfect time for the year. And the first track that I am going to play is a preview to the type of tunes that I'll be playing next week. And that, it's going to be all about reggae and soca Christmas songs, guys. Like, one of the favorite, my favorite things to do during this time of year is to listen to reggae tunes because it's so nostalgic. If you grew up in a Caribbean home, you know this experience very well. Like, all of the traditional Christmas songs that are out there has a Caribbean version, trust me, and that is all I listen to. So I can't believe that I found one track in the CJSF digital library that I remember hearing a lot when I was growing up. So to start the set, I am playing Christmas is Coming by Coco T off the album Bad with a double D, Santa. And since this track is a reggae track, you know that I'm going to talk a little bit about food. So last night, again, speaking of events, December has been busy. Last night was the CJSF Executive and Board Holiday Party, and it was so fun connecting with everyone. Just outside of like a work setting, right? And the highlight was the Mediterranean food. It was incredible. The great convo, but also the gift that I was lucky to take home. I snagged a bottle of Hot Ones Los Calientes hot sauce, and it is a smoky, sweet hot sauce featuring applewood smoked red jalapenos, habaneros for extra heat, tangy apricot, citrus, and savory spices like cumin. I plan to make jerk chicken tacos, and I'm going to use this hot sauce in a mayo-based herb dip. So you have to stay tuned for how that turns out. All right, so I am going to start off the set with Christmas is Coming.
Christmas is a coming. Sufferers, and if you don't have a 10 cent, then a 5 cent will do. And if you don't have a 5 cent, charge a bless you. So Jah bless the eye, Rasta man. Jah bless the eye, alright. Me say Jah bless the eye, Rasta man. Jah bless the eye, alright. The youngster in the ghetto facing tribulation. Get up every day and got no work to do. We sit down and sidewalk and we. Until we all angry, we say Jah bless the eye, Rasta man. Jah bless the eye, alright. We say Jah bless the eye, oh Rasta man. Say Jah bless the eye. But a whole heap of sorrow and a whole heap of pain. The youths them off it begging on the falling rain. Seems like nothing ever gonna change. Everything going on same way. Our rent. So Jah bless you, Rasta.
sufferer's arm. If you don't have a 10 cent, then a 5 cent will do. And if you don't have a 5 cent, Rasta does see you. Say Jah bless you, but let me say Jah bless you, alright. Say Jah bless the eye, Rasta man, Jah bless the eye.
Of course, I want respect and I'll accept all applause with my right hand man called Santa Claus. claws. The bitch lives right well spiritually. At the 4th grand annual ceremony. Well, this should all take place on Christmas Eve. With Cup Master Bistro in Kid Crush Ski. You know my song is so dramatic. Nobody gets me static. Cause I'm not an alcoholic or a dope addict. With holiday around the corner, I'm turning a leak. I have to take a short vacation for knocking out teeth. Fortunately, I can change it from a miserable spruce. I got my sister Sam a goose, my brother Derek some shoes. I got my daddy a caddy, my mommy a fence, and got my sister Angie something, and all of my friends. And I'm holding time for instant questions, drop the mic and sign off. I'm always chilling, never ill, and now you're feeling the frost. I'm only 20 years old, also I'm bad in bold. So Merry Christmas to all, and God bless your soul.
Intravenous on Wednesdays from 10 to 11 a.m. for music and talk radio about all things, all genders. Discussing and approaching contemporary gender issues through an intersectional feminist lens, our goal is to educate, engage, and challenge the dominant hegemony. Intravenous every Wednesday morning from 10 to 11, only on CJSF 90.1 FM. Diverse, independent, yours.
Hello, hello, hello. I hope you enjoyed that set. I, again, feeling all the feels. In that last set, you just heard Christmas Is Coming by Coco T. And then that was followed by Funky Fresh Christmas by the Busy Boys. And that was off of the album Bad with a double D, Santa. And then we ended the set off with Sleigh Ride by Anomaly. And that was off of the album Holidays. Now, to keep with the theme of delicious food, because you know that is definitely my thing, I am excited to share an interview by CJSF volunteer journalist Florentina Resley with founder Sobi, who is the owner of Tamam, fine Palestinian cuisine restaurant located at 2616 East Hastings Street in Vancouver, and they hope that their food will be a bridge that connects us further with Palestine. They popped up into conversation when I was at the event on Saturday, so I cannot wait to visit. Here we go.
Hello, my name is Florentina, and today I'm visiting Vancouver's own Tamam, a Palestinian fine cuisine restaurant. I'm joined today here with the lovely Sobi. So, Sobi, welcome to the show.
Thank you for, can I say, Flo.
Yeah.
Thank you, Flo, for the interview and for the introduction.
Yeah. Maybe we could start things off first with a little bit of an introduction of yourself.
About myself. Again, my name is Subhi Al-Zubaydi. I'm Palestinian, born and raised in Palestine. My background in studied economics, filmmaking, cinema studies, and visual media, visual communication.
Oh, where did you study?
I studied in Palestine, in New York City, and SFU.
All over the world? Oh, SFU, too?
Yeah.
Wow, oh my gosh.
And I write, I'm a poet, I write poetry since I was a kid. Filmmaker, I made many films about Palestine, documentaries, and I also have interest in scholarly research, so I do research about Palestinian culture and arts, especially Palestinian cinema and visual arts.
I guess from there, maybe you could tell a little bit more about the restaurant as well.
Yeah, about the restaurant. So I came with my wife here and our daughter, Kenza, she was 4 or 5 years old in 2006. I came to do my PhD at SFU. And like a year or so after our arrival here, we started to notice that the absence, the invisibility of Palestinian culture. Most people we know or we met, we talked to, their knowledge about Palestine comes from mainstream media, basically, or, maybe a little bit more than social mainstream media, but still it's very limited. And it's very political knowledge about our culture. So myself and Tamam, we decided we want to do something that extends Palestinian culture here in Vancouver. And we both artists. Tamam is also a visual artist. She's a painter, actress, and she was a TV hostess in Palestine. So, we're always like, we come from the arts and spend all our life, like I did nothing but work and I was teaching and making films in Palestine and writing. So all our lives we were working in culture. However, we're not business people, like we don't have a background in business really, but the mom is a really good cook.
Mm-hmm.
Like she just like the way she paints, so you give her any ingredients and she can tend them, make fascinating things, And she loved, after we married, we lived together and little by little I started to realize her creativity in cooking.
Mm-hmm.
She never manifested it really. She always liked talking. So here in Vancouver, actually, we decided that maybe the best to open a restaurant to do food, introduce food. But the whole thing, like we until now, if you look at the restaurant, it's like a gallery really. It's like
really
we show our food, but also all the artwork here is the man's artwork on this wall.
Really,
my artwork and the other wall inside.
Gosh.
So this painting also like a Mexican artist with the man and we painted. So we maintained like our interest in the arts.
Uh-huh.
And now it's like a gallery of food and art. So we learned really so much about food. Things that I myself never thought about. I never like really took, in Palestine I thought about food when I got hungry.
Yeah.
That's all really, but I never theorized food, or maybe I should have, but here, I learned like how food is amazing in terms of communicating one's culture to another culture.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Like, I spent most of my life, as I mentioned, I'm a filmmaker, writer, teacher. So I'm always talking to people about Palestine, whether poetry, film, or any other intellectual capacity. But like, and always people listen and they interact and things, but they always like filter what you say.
Ah,
they people come with their languages, their backgrounds, their many things, right? And they have to like think about what you say. They like it, they don't like it, they agree, they don't agree. But with food, there isn't this problem. With food, people eat if they like your food. Oh my God, this is Palestinian food, yes.
Yeah.
Wow, this is fascinating. So it really builds a relationship.
It does.
That is not intellectual, but bodily or physical relationship, because the food goes inside the body.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
You don't think about it.
Yeah.
And it becomes, so they become more open, susceptible to learn about Palestine. The conversation can go in any direction. And it works. Like, it really works in terms. And food, talking about food is not all talking about eating, but talking about cooking, about harvesting, about where the food comes from, about geography, about history. Food takes you in so many, about memory and about community, Since October 7th, because it's an authentic Palestinian restaurant, and we are two proud Palestinians, before October, since we came, we are proud of our culture, we're two proud Palestinians, and we practice this and say this every day, we're not shy about it, we're not afraid from it. But we noticed also how eating Palestinian food in the last 2 years became, there is an added value.
Okay.
When people come to eat, it's like, they come to eat, they talk about the food, they talk to us. This place has become a cultural hub, a cultural center where people come to express their solidarity with Palestine. Even by eating Palestinian food, a lot of people now the way we get our food, our catering orders, most 90% of the catering orders, there is no other food we would like to share with our whoever, but Palestinian food. And I know not because we're just because of the general environment and people feel like there is an added value, moral or ethical or political value, to doing business with Palestinian food that they already like the food. So
It's kind of also like making a stand too. It's supporting your business. It's supporting Palestine in general.
Exactly.
Especially, since you've done a lot for Palestinian activism as well. Yeah, you guys had that fundraising event last year in January, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was also looking through your social media as well. You've been raising awareness well before the October 7th. Event.
All our lives since we. This is the destiny of any Palestinian intellectual or artist, that you are really, because of our situation and the political realities of our life. So you cannot really, we don't have the pleasure, we don't have the luxury of thinking outside of our issues. I made films and I always said I would love to make a film about something that is not political or doesn't have political ramifications or manifestations, but I am incapable of making anything or write a book or that doesn't deal with my existential realities. I am incapable of doing this to you. So, yes, everything we do, whether my films, my writings, it's all has to do with Palestine and with what we're going through.
There's that wave.
Yeah.
Although you guys cover a lot of information about Palestine, things that normal, media outlets that I or my peers usually rely on is not covered by the things you guys are showing there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we have a, because we lived all our lives in Palestine, so we grew up there. And when we speak from there. We know our families are there, our friends are there, our communities are there, our hearts are there. But also, we're not like politicians. We're artists, and artists are usually creative supposedly creative people who come up with the creative ways to express things different. Even like, you know, I much prefer artists talking, doing politics than politicians doing politics, because it's nuanced, accentuated.